In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There is a kind of love that mankind would not know about if God had not revealed that love to us. Now, we know about being fair. And from the beginning of human civilization, we've known that in order to have a civilized society, people have to be fair with one another. People aren't always fair, and so we've had laws in order to enforce a basic level of decent dealing with one another. But laws alone cannot make a human society. There has to be a sense of belonging to the human race. That's really the only race there is, you know. Those fine distinctions, they are secondary, minor. There have always been a few, even after the beginning of human civilization, outlaws who stood only for themselves and considered those who cooperated with one another and dealt fairly with one another to be fools. There have always been people like that. But there is a kind of love that we only know about because God has revealed it. And that is what we now call Christian love. Agape. Charity. Charity, rightly understood, is not such a bad translation for agape, for divine love. To give and not expect anything in return. To give not as a matter of exchange or as a matter of a profit agreed upon, or as a matter of feeling like a great-souled human being, able to love others from a large soul, a large heart. It makes us feel wonderful about ourselves to love those who depend on us. Those who depend on us, maybe just for the love that we give them. We get something in exchange there as well, but it's an immaterial kind of something that we get. It gives us a good feeling about ourselves. But agape is a different kind of love. It is the love that created the world. God did not create the world in order to get something out of it, in order to get something back from it. He created the world because that is his nature. It is his nature to love. God is love. What do people think when they hear that? God is only the kind of love that he reveals when he creates the heavens, the earth, and all of the things in it, and then human beings he creates in his own image and likeness, beings that can only be fully human by loving as God loves. That's the only way we can be truly and fully human. We are not self-contained. In order to love, we need others to love. And there are others. And there is God. God is other than us. He is uncreated. He created us in order to love us and give us the blessing of being able to return his love by loving him and being able to love others so that all of us are one in this revealed love that you won't find in human society. You won't find in the world until God reveals himself. And then when God fully reveals himself by coming into the world, being born as one of us, affirming our God-loving nature by being born as one of us, showing us that there is a compatibility between our humanity and his divinity. And our humanity is dependent upon the agape love, the charitable love that expects nothing in return. That is the nature of what it means to be human. And that's why Jesus says, as a command, not as advice, to be a little bit better, to rise a little higher. He gives it as a command to human beings who cannot be human in any other way, and he knows it. Love your enemies. Love those who spitefully use you. Because if you are not able, not something that we cannot simply start to do on the basis of our own strength and ability, Orthodox understand that the meaning of life is to learn how to love. We learn how to love by returning the love of others, our parents. It's very difficult for a child who has never been loved to learn to love. That child, that person, will go through life needing love because they haven't had the kind of love that a child needs in order to be able to grow, finally into biological adulthood. But if to grow beyond biological adulthood, we need to learn a higher love than that. Not that it's the highest, but a higher love than that. Loving another person for themselves and seeing that another person can love us for who we are. People knew about that kind of love before Christ came into the world. Even that, as spiritual as it is a kind of exchange. There is a higher love than that. But when Christ came into the world, he revealed a divine love, agape love, the love of charity that expects nothing in return. And because it does, it makes us more and more like God. It fulfills us in our humanity because we begin to rise further and further toward the stature of Christ through this learning how to love as God loves. Because this love is a divinizing love. It is the love that makes us more and more like God. It is a love that lifts others up. It is a love that can transform the enemy and lift the enemy up and free the enemy from anger or hatred or whatever it is that they may think they have against us. It can cut through that. No other kind of love can do that. Making peace or coming to some kind of an agreement or making some kind of treaty of decent treatment back and forth, it can't do that. Only this kind of love can do that. St. Paul says that because of Christ, faith, hope, and charity, that is agape, love, faith, hope, and love, faith, hope, and agape, faith, hope, and charity now abide. That is, they are in the world permanently, and they are available, accessible. We can love our husband, our wife, our brother, our sister, our enemy with a higher kind of love than we had been able to love them before, because Christ has come and he has revealed this ultimate nature of love and the ultimate nature of God and the ultimate nature of us as human beings. Because in Christ we see this love. He gives himself for our sake. He enters death in order to destroy its power over us and to free us to be able to love with a love like his love. Created in the image and likeness of God, we can only be fully human by agape. We can only be fully human by loving as God loves, because we were created in his image and likeness, and nothing else will do it. And if we define life in some kind of lower terms, then we begin to descend backwards into a lower animal state. What is the word animal? Animal, it just means that which breathes, that which is able to breathe. Everything that lives breathes in some way. Only mankind was given the breath of God. The Spirit of God breathed into us. Without it, we are not fully human. If we lose it or turn against it or deny it, then we descend into a lower way of life, a lower form of life. We become something like a human animal, shaped like a human being, having the intellectual and physical capacities of a human being, but inwardly, we are not fully human. And so we look out on the world through eyes that are not fully human. We speak in ways to others that are not fully human. Seeking an advantage, using our eyes to look and give people glances that lower them to ourselves, not fully human. And there is this too. Wherever there is no charity, no agape, no divine love, God is unknown. We may think we know God, but we only can know those gods that fit into our sub-fully human way of life. The true God is not known without agape, without being able to love, beginning with one person at least, hopefully, to love that person with a love that is a charitable love, that is a sinless love. A sinless love. A sinless love expects nothing in return. That's why we can love our enemies with this kind of love, because we are not expecting anything in return. We've given up what we think we deserve from our enemies, what we think they have taken away from us. But this sinless love, this agape, is what Jesus Christ commands us as Christians to love with. Sinners give to those that they expect to have something in return from. And that applies to love too. When we were young, many of us married, well, people wait longer than they used to, but I was married very young. Too young to understand. And there are those early arguments that always end up, "You don't love me." And maybe men don't say it, but they think it. They feel it inside. "You don't love me." Why? "Because if you love me, you would do this, that, or the other thing in order to please me, in order to make me happy. We would have the kind of exchange of love that I bargained for, that I expected." But that love is not the highest love. And eventually, if we are Christians, we come to recognize that it isn't enough. If we truly love with a charitable love that expects nothing, a sinless love, we keep the other kinds. We don't give them up. We treat those that we love especially well because we love them in all kinds of ways, from the lowest to the highest. But now we have an assurance of the permanence of love because we are loving them even just a little bit, the way God loves us, the way Christ loved and loves us, the way the saints have learned to love. We are able to learn to love. And it's learning this love that is the thing that makes life meaningful. Without it, it's just getting and trading and buying and selling and having and breathing like animals and then dying when that breath passes out of us. Because the Holy Spirit of God and this agape, this love that He has revealed to us, is not in us. All we have is the breath of life of this world. And so when that breath of life passes out of the body and the body dies, where is our life? Where is the life that God breathed into us? Where is the life that God came into the world in order to reveal to us can be our source of life from now until eternity without end? We need to be able to begin to learn how to love with that kind of love. Christ was not giving spiritual advice, but a command. The central command, love your enemies. We are made so that if we cannot learn agape, we make animals of ourselves. When a human being is born, if they are not breathing, the doctor slaps them on the behind. And that pain awakens them and they breathe. We need something like that. Before we come to the chalice, before we receive the body and blood of Christ, we have to be breathing the gift of the Holy Spirit, not just breathing animals. And so, after we hear the gospel, we have an encouragement. Remind ourselves, breathe with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Breathe in the breath of the Holy God and breathe out this charitable agape love. And then come and receive the body and blood of Christ. And you will be able to live as God created human beings to live. Charity to those in need is about the only meaning to the word charity that we understand anymore. We've even made for ourselves a selfish way of understanding it. I give to charity. It exalts me, you see. It exalts me in the same way that I may love someone who is dependent upon my love, my compassion, my decency, my good treatment, and they return to me and appreciation, and it builds me up. And when I give out of that kind of charity, then it's not charity. I am getting paid for giving whatever it is that I gave to the needy. It's always more clear when we exercise charity, when we exercise love toward our enemies. And this is more than a matter of forgiving insults, because enemies will insult us. That's what makes them enemies. They may insult us in one way or another by words or by some practical means, taking us for granted, taking advantage of us. It seems like we have a whole society based on taking advantage of those who are gullible. Advertising, let the buyer beware. You bought it, it's yours. We had a transaction, I won, you lost. So that's the way it is. That's the kind of society we live in today. Look around you, half of our telephone calls are not even from people, but machines representing people who want to take advantage of us. The whole economy seems to be built on that. The one who gets shortchanged has given to the overall economy, because the success of those who exploit others is the success of the economy. No charitable sense in that. Now, St. Nikolai Velimirovic says that when it comes to business, there's nothing wrong with making exchange with an agreement to a certain profit for one person. It's not bad. It's not good. It's neither one. It's only when we steal, only when we deceive, when we take advantage, that there is bad involved. Bad at a practical level for the other person, and also builds cynicism in the other person, and also bad for us spiritually. The enemies are those who insult us in one way or another, whether on a grand scale or in a little way. We come to a place that we haven't been for a long time. Somebody gives us the look and says something to us to let us know that their status is not as high as our status. And they are coming to a place where I feel comfortable, but I'm not so sure you deserve to feel comfortable. We do things like that to people. And once someone's heart has become hardened because of this kind of treatment, it's very difficult to get beyond it. There is only one way that it can happen: by the love of enemies, love of another that does not expect anything in return, that does not start out by saying, I am going to wait until others love me charitably. St. Nikolai says that while we are doing that, the other person is going to be doing the same thing, and things will stop just exactly there. Both of us will be waiting for charity. That's why in a marriage, if there's an argument, someone has to break and love the other person, not expecting anything in return. And we can't fake it, because they'll know. It's the only way to end that kind of thing and to bring things back into a life that is shared as human beings that share the life of Christ. Let us pray that every person who comes here amongst us or returns to us after a time away finds a charitable human acceptance by every eye and every word they meet from every single one of us, our members, because we are here to learn how to love with agape, God's charity, expecting nothing from others, but giving God's love, letting it pass through us to others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.